fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I hope you had a chance to tune into the program this week and talking this week about the words of Jesus. He said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in some ways, maybe that one sentence, those words from Jesus, kind of expressed my thought and feeling of the whole week, the programs we've been talking about, that we really are living in a time when there really is, there's darkness. There's just a lack of understanding about, a lack of common sense, a lack of awareness of fundamental goodness. And you know, as God gets pushed, as Pope Benedict used to say, we're living at a time when the faith itself is dying out in many places in the world, like a flame which no longer has fuel. He said, humanity is pushing God from the human horizon. And when God, who is light, the life of God is revealed, he said all week long, Jesus said, or the Gospel of John, first chapter said, in him was life, and that his life was the light of men. The light that we see is God's life, the eternal life that's come from the Father, is revealed to us in Jesus, and an existence beyond death is open to us. And Christ reveals to us who we are. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that life, Jesus wants to pass on to us. And that life becomes a light in us, and we give witness and we testify to who Christ is. And his presence in us, his power at work in us through the Holy Spirit, begins to change us. He renews our mind. He renews our heart. He strengthens us. He touches us in a way that we're capable now of grasping the meaning of my life. I can see, I can understand. I know where my life is headed. I know why I'm here. That's the kind of light that comes from living in the life of Christ. And if you're listening to the program yesterday, I was working my way through just this one short section from chapter 8, verse 31 and following of the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will truly be my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth sets you free. I spent some time yesterday talking about the necessary connection between love and truth. Love needs truth. There's no love without the truth, and there's no truth without love. There's a lot of confusion about truth in our day, and there's a lot of confusion about what love is. And Christ is at the center, revealing both to us. What's the truth about man? What's the truth about humanity? What does love mean? Why do we care about love so much? And what does true love look like? And so Jesus is saying, if you continue in my word, as he said in many other places, if you obey my commands, he said, if you want to love me, obey me. Show me your love by saying yes to me. And the world struggles. That's why, in my view, why so many people today are drifting away from the faith, because people, they somehow feel diminished because they have to obey someone else. It's the spirit of the age that says, I have to be radically autonomous. I have to be my own master. I have to be the own designer of my life and purpose and everything. And anything that stays in the way of that, you know, gets in the way of my rights and oppresses me, and I can't be free and all that kind of stuff. Well, Jesus showed us on the cross where freedom truly is. Freedom is found in living the truth. Freedom is found in living the truth about who we are. We're created by God. We're created for a purpose. And to live in that purpose and that truth, that's freedom. That's love. So he says here, if you continue my word, you'll be my disciples. Jesus said, to come this way is going to cost you. If you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. No question about it. And you'll have to do that every day for the rest of your life. Because the reason you have to deny yourself, what he's talking about is he's talking about that dimension of our fallen nature that drive within us to insist on our own way. The kind of thing I've been talking about all week long. Jesus said, you can't sit on the throne of your life. You can't be the boss. You can't pretend like you're in charge and you're the one who knows all truth, because you don't. I will lead you from darkness to light. I'll lead you to freedom. But to get there, you have to become my disciple. And it begins by saying no to that thing in me that says, I'm in charge. I'm going to do things my way. deny yourself, take up your cross. That will be a battle. It'll be a battle to subdue those drives in us that constantly want to assert our ego over and above other people and in every situation, and put myself first rather than putting God first and seeking first the kingdom, like Jesus said. That means putting our flesh to death. And then as we walk with Jesus, we're going to experience, he said, is resistance. We're going to experience the resistance of the world. When we live for ourselves, it's pretty easy. We just kind of drift along with the culture. But when we meet Christ and we realize that much of the culture is drifting away from God and its ultimate purpose, and we start taking a stand against the insanity of the world, really, and we know we're not just judging the world. We know it in our own being we've experienced, right? In our own decisions. We know what the battle against sin is all about, and we're going to start standing for the truth. We're going to live a different way of life. Well, when we do that, we're walking against the tide. We're walking against the flow of the broad river, the broad way that's leading away from the kingdom of God. And that requires vigilance and sacrifice and taking up our cross and being willing to suffer. I mean, friends, look at some of our brothers and sisters around the world. Look at the brothers and sisters who got beheaded in the Middle East because of what they believe. And they refused to renounce Christ, renounce his church, and so they lost their lives. But they understood, and it was such to me, it was both simultaneously just a horrific thing to see, but at the same time, you could see the peace on the face of many of these people because they knew the truth that in an instant, they were going to be with the Lord. That death itself has lost its sting. It doesn't get the final say. It's not the ultimate end of my life for the diminishment. Now, the world believes that because they're trapped in the cycle. If there is no creator, there is no ultimate purpose, there is no existence beyond death, all we have is what we have here, and we're in this constant battle for survival and the survival of the fittest. And, you know, my neighbor becomes competition for me. I'm in a constant pursuit of the few resources that are here, and I want to get more than my neighbor. And one of the most, I think, vivid things about our time, one of the clearest things, is what the Bible talks about, a darkened mind. When humanity doesn't see beyond death, it changes us. And it fills us with kind of anxiety and the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, Paul tells us that it's the devil's strategy to enslave the human race through the fear of death. We don't have an answer for aging and sickness and leading toward death, so what do? We're in a constant battle against it. And it can get to the point, what ends up happening, when we deny God, the Lord said, I set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. We deny God, we step out of the blessing. And we give ourselves over to a way of life that's cursed. It's cursed by the power of death. And there's a power in death. It's a disordered energy. And that disordering grabs us and has an effect on us. And so we fight against it all the time, and it leads us to making very bad decisions. It leads us into living a life that's under a curse. For example, the decision, you know, the battle that's been happening across the world my entire life, the whole fight for life and the whole abortion issue. You know, how many people say, I got to have the freedom. I got to have the freedom. I got to have control over my body, because if I have an unwanted pregnancy, I can't control it. And that lack of control and the fear of what that's going to mean, and can I raise the kid and can I afford the kid, is going to slow down my career. And a guy panicking saying, you got to get an abortion. I'm not going to handle all that pressure. And fear grabs us. And the fear clouds our mind, and we lose sight of the truth about the dignity and eternal dignity of that child. And because we're under a power of darkness, we panic. And we end up denying reality, and we don't live in the truth. And we start creating these crazy lies like, well, it's for the betterment of the child. Yeah, right. The killing of the child is for the betterment of the child. That's how dark our mind can get. Look at the other side of life now. Societies Holland, Amsterdam, Holland, Canada. Everybody's pushing now for the legalization of euthanasia, of killing, and often killing the weak. This is a horrific story I read just last week of a girl in her 20s in Holland is killed because, you know, she was suffering from PTSD. They called it from having been sexually molested, and their therapies didn't work, and she was suffering a lot. So they said, well, we can't offer you anything more. And she said, I don't want to suffer anymore. And so she appealed to the committee that makes these decisions, and they killed her. A whole world without hope. Well, if we can't fix you, if science and our techniques don't fix you, you got no hope. If our pills don't fix you, you got no hope. I just find it so amazing. There's a woman, a Protestant preacher who's big. I've seen her on television a couple of times, Joyce Meyer. There's a lot of women who listen to her, and her story, she's an amazing teacher. She genuinely is. And she talks about having gone through horrendous molestation in a time in her life, over an extended period of time in her life, and how Christ healed her and set her free. Well, in the world, there is no power other than what we have at our fingertips. So when that doesn't do it, we're without hope and we get desperate. So what do we end up doing? Our solution becomes death itself. We end up wielding death as a solution, as a sign of hope. And here these doctors, they're being interviewed, said, we put the needle in her and the drip, and we wished her well on her journey. These are people who don't even believe in God, but what's there? Well, if she believes there's something out there afterwards, fine. Well, guess what? It's a fantasy world you're living in. That's the effect of the fear of death. Jesus came to take away death's power and its sting and to shed light on it. Friends, this is why we're going so far in society as to designing our own, you know, genetically designing our own children. That's the future. Why? Oh, because we don't want to suffer, because we want to have a perfect kid, because we don't want to be put out, because whatever it is, it's that anxiety, that fear of somebody getting ahead or us not having a perfect child, and it's all there, and it leads us to, it's a slavery. This is what Jesus said here in this reading, verse 34. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever, but the son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you're free indeed. His point is to say, look, you're living in slavery to sin under the power of death, and I've come to set you free. I've come to give you my spirit. The spirit will set you free. The spirit will lead you to live in the truth, and that will set you free. You don't have to be afraid of anything. And I'm going to set you free to live in accord with your own nature, what you're made for. The only place you'll ever find fulfillment. You don't have to dedicate yourself to uninterrupted distractions because you can't handle life. You don't have to medicate yourself. I'm going to lead you into freedom so you can live in the dignity of the sons and daughters of God. And you don't have to be afraid of anything. Be not afraid. Have peace in your heart. Live in the healthy fear of the Lord, and you will be wise in the face of a world that's lost all wisdom. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.